The Big Blue Report.
Scooped up by Kentucky.
Kentucky Unfiltered on the new sports. 96.1 The Zone.
Big Blue Report here on the all-new Sports 96.1 The Zone. Terry Ford Show. That's Brad White, defensive coordinator of the Wildcats. We'll talk about that in a second. Also get to Kentucky's 2022 football schedule. 5:15, our buddy Brad Taylor from the bottom line, our resident local degenerate. We'll pick some games. That's coming up 5:15. 5:30, we will get back to the NFL and look at the National Football League outside the AFC North. And 5:45, we'll look at our Reds preview.
If I had a puke button, I would push it.
Yeah, I just threw up in my mouth. All right, so all that's coming up in our final hour. All right, let's take a look again at our Big Blue Report at Kentucky. There's Brad White, defensive coordinator, talking about J.J. Weaver, who off the edge, and Weaver's coming back from, you know, a knee injury, major knee injury. Weaver is healthy, and we went over we have analytics day here on Wednesday. We found out Pro Football Focus has J.J. Weaver ranked in the top 15 in the country as an edge defender. So J.J. Weaver has played well. But should what did I just say? J.J. Weaver?
I don't know.
What did I just say?
I think you were trying
AJ
to say
Weaver?
That. By the way,
what did I just say?
This train's a rolling when I said J.J. Weaver, potential future top 10 pick.
No, I'm not going that far yet.
You said that we're being a bit hyperbolic, are we? And, well, if he's a top 15 pass rusher.
First of all, and this is our esteemed producer, Angela Carriero, I don't use words that big. That hyperbolic word, I don't use words that big.
I didn't even know I said it. Yeah, I think I was possessed.
Yeah, that was pretty good, but I don't use that word because it's too big for me. That's number one. And number two, I'm not ready to go J.J. Weaver being a top 10 pick.
I'm just saying if there was a trend up. But now, if I could cash this receipt out now, I would get plus money from where it was when I first said it. Just saying.
Yeah, it's got a little bit, you got a teeny bit more traction, but you got a lot of traction. You're still hanging off the edge of the mountain by your fingernails on it, but you're getting better.
No, but then now I have a finger up, and then another finger, and then I'm going to be doing pull-ups off the mountain, and then I'm going to lift the mountain.
I got a finger. I got a finger over here for you.
Real nice, Terry. Real nice.
So anyway, J.J. Weaver's played really well, is what we're trying to say. But coming back from a knee injury, Brad White even said it during the piece of sound there that you don't want to overdo it. You want to work Weaver in slowly. It's a combination of, hey, J.J., you're healthy. Go run around. See, you're good. Go, 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 go. But you don't want to overdo it with J.J. Weaver at this point because you want J.J. Weaver. You want J.J. Weaver healthy when the season is really cooking. And you've got three huge games coming up, Florida, LSU, Georgia, that you need J.J. Weaver healthy and how many snaps you want to give him. And obviously, Weaver brings something the Cats need a ton. That's pass rush off the edge. So there's Brad White talking about J.J. Weaver. Here's also Brad White discussing, look, South Carolina has some weapons on offense in the passing game, in the running game. There are guys who can do things, but the biggest deal has been the quarterback position's been in flux because of injuries. Luke Doty, who was supposed to be the starter, is back now. And the offensive line's been atrocious. And it's tough to, ready? It's tough to run or pass when you're laying on your back because your offensive line's so bad. Here's Brad White, though, talking about the weaponry with the South Carolina Gamecocks.
I mean, they've got offensive skill all over the place. I mean, the running backs are really talented, and you look at how they distribute it to them. I mean, all four of those guys, you know, they make sure they get fairly equal touches. You know, obviously we saw a good dose of Kevin Harris last year. So we know, you know, what we're in for from a running back position. They're really talented. I think, you know, 11 is a really, really talented player. You know, we obviously saw Doty, you know, last year as a freshman. You know, he's coming back. He made some really tough throws against Georgia that showed a lot of toughness and grit, you know, standing there in the pocket. Those receivers, obviously everybody saw, you know, the kind of catches they can make there on the outside edge. So they've got a lot of weapons to deal with. So we've got to be mindful, you know, and we understand the challenge that we're up against. But they can run the ball, you know, they can push the ball down the field, and those receivers can get it.
All right. And yes, like we talked about and we discussed it with our buddy Ben Portnoy from the state newspaper in Columbia, South Carolina's got skill position guys. Make no mistake. I mean, their offense is in the bottom areas of the SEC, but there are skill position players there. It's just the quarterback situation has been kind of sideways, and the offensive line's been atrocious. But you look at Josh Van averaging 28 yards a catch. Zaquandre White averaging almost 8 yards a carry. South Carolina's got dudes that can do damage, so you've got to be careful. Hey, look, if Kentucky's front seven loses the battle against a bad offensive line, South Carolina can do stuff, and they can attack Kentucky in their weak areas. So that's why, to me, the biggest matchup of this game is the South Carolina O-line and the Kentucky front seven. Because if for some reason Kentucky can't get any heat on Luke Doty, and Luke Doty has time, Josh Van, Jalen Brooks, guys can do things. So to me, that's a big matchup of this game, will be the Kentucky front seven and the Carolina offensive line. Again, we, Angelo and I, both agree that Kentucky wins a close game that will not be easy. Will not be easy at all. And I'll say another thing, too. We never talk about special teams because it's boring and it puts people to sleep. So now we're going to do it for a second. Kentucky has had some issues on special teams this year. Cannot have any issues on the road at South Carolina on Saturday. Not a good idea to have issues in special teams. All right, so the 2022, and this is the Big Blue Report. We're hanging here on the Terry Ford Show on the all-new Sports 96.1 The Zone. Kentucky's 2022 football schedule has come out. We didn't really get into this yesterday. Starts off with Miami of Ohio at Kroger, September 3rd of next year. Should be a W. At Florida, ooh, in game two. It's interesting that game is what, remember, Missouri was game two this year. Florida will be game two at the Swamp. Then Youngstown State will show up at Kroger. Angelo said it off the air. Mark Stoops and these Ohio teams. So Youngstown State should be a W.
I get that he gets Youngstown State because that's where, you know, Morrow and Stoops all came from and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But why do we have to have Miami, Ohio as well? Can't you just choose Youngstown and we can go somewhere else?
Well, those are two W's. Northern Illinois should be a win on September 24th. So you got your three winnable cupcake games. You should be 3-1. Then you go to Ole Miss. So that's the thing. The first two SEC games, Angelo, at the Swamp and then at the Grove. That could be a 3-2 start. South Carolina at Kroger, Mississippi State at Kroger. Now you feel pretty good about those could lean to W's. At Tennessee, we don't know what Tennessee is going to be right now. A game at Neyland Stadium against this version of Tennessee doesn't really scare you. I know there's 100,000 people there, but you know Tennessee does not put fear in your heart at this point. Then at Missouri, could be a difficult game. Vanderbilt at home, W. Georgia at home, ooh. And then Louisville at home. It's a really weird schedule. You end the year with three straight home games. Before that, though, you have two in a row on the road. Before that, you have two in a row at home. Your first two SEC games are both on the road. And then, you know, eat cupcakes at home early in the year. A little strange how it's like a couple on the road here in a row, a couple here in a row, and then the end of the year with three at home.
Well, here's the upside to this. Is that Kentucky plays five of their first seven games at home before the bye week.
Yeah.
So the bye week comes, you get to rest up and prepare, you go for a two-game road trip, and then you finish your last three at home.
Yeah.
This schedule could not have worked out better for Kentucky outside of the early matchup against Florida. But in 2018, it proved to be to Kentucky's benefit because Florida fans always said, well, if this team, like at the end of the year, if this team played that Kentucky team, Florida would have won. But sorry, buddy. That's not how football goes.
Doesn't go that way.
You show up, you either get your can kicked or you win the game. They got the can kicked.
You can't pick which players from what era. You can't go back and pull your players from 2 years ago.
Yeah, I bet if we had Tim Couch, we would have won by double digits.
I always love those kind of arguments. Well, our team from this year would have beat your team from this. It doesn't work that way.
So
you can do it on Madden. Feel free.
So as much as I do hate that the Florida game is so early, there's a potential that this Kentucky team could be better next year with Will Levis with another year, if Chris Rodriguez and Wandale return, if the offense can kind of stay together and develop the young guys after that. I think that game could be more competitive. I'm just saying, I'm looking at 5-2 before the bye week. Then you got Tennessee, Missouri. Let's just say hypothetically they split that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they go from 5-2. Now it's 6-3. Vanderbilt, Georgia, Louisville. I mean, that's a, I'd say that's like a what? A 7-5. I didn't think I did my math right. I don't know how I get that so messed up sometimes, but I'm saying this is another potential 8-win season. But if Kentucky's better than we think, they win Florida, Georgia. Hear me out. Terry, be patient with me. Be patient. They could run the schedule and go undefeated and play for the SEC championship game.
Hand me that cup you're drinking out of. I want to sniff it. I want to sniff the cup you have.
I'm just saying, Kentucky. Okay, tell me which programs are better than Kentucky.
Let me ask you this.
Miami, Ohio, Youngstown State, Northern Illinois,
yes,
Ole Miss, South Carolina, Mississippi State, Missouri, Vanderbilt, Louisville. Okay. None of those teams are better than Kentucky. Right. There's only two programs better.
Where were you born and raised? What state?
The location of my birth has nothing to do with logic.
That's right.
It has nothing to do with logic. There's two programs on our schedule that are better than
Kentucky. Here's the interesting part of this. Only four road games all season. Those are the SEC games. That's it. Four road games all year. That's friendly. Yes, you get Georgia at Kroger. Ooh, that should be a loss. But very friendly. No LSU. Very friendly schedule in regards to home road. And the programs that are better, Florida's obviously better. I mean, we'll see where Ole Miss is trending as a program coming up in the start of 2022. Right now, Ole Miss is playing really well, and they're actually trying to play defense.
Well, they're going to lose Corral by next year, and then you can just forget about it.
Well, we'll see. You know, Lane Kiffin, you know, sometimes the next quarterback might not be as good, but he might be good. We'll see. Georgia obviously is better. Doesn't feel like Louisville's going in the right direction under Scott Satterfield. It doesn't feel that way. And, you know, I like my guy Eli at Missouri. We'll see where Missouri is going in next year. But, yeah, I mean, legitimately, this is a friendly schedule. The more I look at it right now, 2022 is a friendly schedule. Absolutely.
I would say the low end of the schedule is 8-4. All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you're glass half full, it's about 10-2.
And if you're Angelo
if
drunk,
you brought a fistful of bourbon in today, it's undefeated. I'm just saying, if Kentucky's good enough, Florida, Georgia go down, you're looking, I mean, that Florida, Georgia line, what if Kentucky's the line to go to the SEC championship game, beat Alabama, then go to the college football playoff, then win the national title.
Where were you born and raised again?
Terry, I am a logical person, and this is all logical, I'm just saying.
You're not driving over to Varsity Game Night, are you? After whatever you've been drinking in that cup, you need a ride? Need an Uber?
I don't
know. Varsity Game Night, 7:15 pregame, 7:30 kick. Obviously, we hook up with our partners at ABC 36.2 for the simulcast. You can hear our broadcast on ABC 36.2 as you watch the game. And of course, if you're driving around or you got your phone or whatever, tablet, laptop, you can hear the game right here on the all-new Sports 96.1 The Zone. Come back. Let's dig into the NFL. Look at some more of the matchups in the National Football League on Sunday. It's Football Friday. Football on the all-new Sports 96.1 The Zone.